Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to ATP Radio with Barry Nussbaum.
Good evening, America. Welcome to ATP on Radio. I'm your host, Barry Nussbaum. We have a very, very important discussion today. We are going to discuss how Congress saved all of you last night. You know, the same Congress that is the elected body of 535, well, I don't want to use the word idiots because that's insulting, but I don't know what else to say. America has been throttled down economically, thrown down an elevator shaft financially, and last night, with just a couple minutes of review, Congress passed a 5,600-page spending bill to save you and you and you and you from the COVID disaster that they created. Now, every single qualified adult in America is going to receive $600 in a week or two. And that will get you through the economic crisis of all the shutdowns, all the inability to travel, to congregate where you want to do business in your normal fashion, and to create, well, a solution to what Congress created for you. Sound wonderful, doesn't it? That spending bill is on its way right now to President Trump's desk. We don't know if he's going to sign it yet because there's a lot of lobbying on both sides going on. Before we get into the details, because there's a bunch, let me read you what Charlie Kirk said last night. Now, Charlie Kirk, you may know, is the founder of a sort of a resurgence in the conservative movement called Turning Point USA. And here's what Charlie said. The Democrat stimulus bill contains funding for an investigation into the 1908 Springfield race riot. I read that correctly. Congress is spending more money to investigate a 112-year-old riot than they are to help out Americans who have been out of work for 10 months. Think about that. Charlie, you're right. So what is in this 5,600-page treatise? I don't know how tall it is. I haven't seen a picture, but I'm going to read you the table of contents in a few minutes, and your brains are going to turn to jello. But let me give you some highlights. Remember, this bill has been publicized to save your butt. But here's where the big money is going. $135 million to Burma. Anyone know where that is? I'll give you a hint. It's by India. $85.5 million to Cambodia. $1.4 billion to the Asia Reassurance Initiative Act. $130 million to Nepal. $700 million to Sudan, who just got taken off the terrorist watch list a week ago. And $14 million to the Kennedy Center. They just cannot stop giving that performing arts center big money. That's the same place when they got the first bailout earlier this year, stopped paying their employees, and it went to management. And here's my favorite. $10 million has been allocated for gender programs in Pakistan. And yes, I read it correctly. I had to check it, but it's true. Pakistan gets $10 million for gender programs. Now, gender in Pakistan is subject to Sharia, which means men are equal and women are sort of down there with dogs, sheep, and goats. They can be bought, they can be sold, they can be beaten, they can be killed. They can be married when they're 10. Now, somehow, somebody got the very bright idea that they need, they being the Pakistani government, $600 for Americans and $10 million to study sexuality in Pakistan. Let me read you where the bigger money's going. You ready? Here's a list. $1.3 billion to Egypt. $500 million to the Ukraine. $33 million to Venezuela. You know, the People's Republic of Venezuela, where everybody's starving because they have a socialist dictator who is destroying the country. $3.3 billion to Israel. But unlike all these other grants, Israel has to spend the majority of the money in the United States, meaning it really causes them to spend their money with companies like General Dynamics and Boeing and Raytheon and other military defense contractors who sell their stuff to the Israelis, and then the Israelis give back the technology. So it's a real win-win situation on the Israel side. Now, I just want to make one side comment. Alyssa Milano, you know, that brilliant political science professor who writes all the books. Oh, no, I'm sorry. She's a washed-up actress that thinks she's a political science expert that writes books, but she really doesn't write anything. She mostly just bloviates on television every day. She criticized the money going to Israel and made it sound so anti-Semitic that, as bad as Alyssa Milano has been in the past, she's gotten worse because she's appealing to the progressive, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, left-wing progressives of her goofball party and doesn't understand that, unlike all the other countries, Israel has to spend most of the money here. A number of years ago when I was in Israel, I had the good fortune to interview for a couple hours a brigadier general who's also an ambassador for military exports and imports from and to Israel from the United States. And he went through the analysis of, unlike all the other countries in the world, Israel has to spend their money here, which really creates more American jobs, and then gives back the technology that they invent that actually increases the efficacy of our weapons program. So please ignore Alyssa Milano. And the ultimate funding, and I don't want to call it a boondoggle because I consider this more of a conspiracy, is $3.6 billion. I'm sorry, $3.36 billion went to the Bill Gates program for mass inoculations. Now, this is Bill Gates of Microsoft, who's the computer guy. He's not a doctor. He has no medical background. He has no science background. He's a computer guy. But somehow, because of his incredible wealth, power, and influence, he is now the vaccine guy for the world. And Bill said at the Yahoo Finance Summit in October that the upcoming coronavirus stimulus negotiations, which are the ones we're talking about in this show, give the best opportunity to get funding approved to help the poor people of the world. So Bill said, quote, "The people in the Congress who support these things have decided that the stimulus bill is the most likely way for something to get done. And as part of the $900 billion coronavirus relief deal that went through last night, $3.36 billion was given to Gavi, the International Vaccine Alliance. Now, that Bill Gates does. Keep in mind his mass inoculation program in Africa for polio, millions and millions of doses, resulted in horrific results for many of the native African children, paralyzed, seizure disorders, deaths, and so on. And many of these vaccine programs have since been canceled. And that's the same Bill Gates that talks about biometric chipping in the vaccines. Do I know for a fact that those are chipped? No, I don't. Has Bill Gates talked about it? Yes, he has. Let me talk about where some more big money went. Kennedy Center, $26 million. The Smithsonian to two museums, $1 billion. I said $1 billion. National Art Gallery, $154 million. National Art and Humanities Museums, $167 million. The Wilson Center, $14 million. And then additional monies to Egypt, Sudan, Ukraine, Nepal, Burma, Cambodia, Pakistan, and so on. Billions and billions and billions and billions, and you guys are getting $600. Doesn't seem quite equal, does it? Here's a question that just came in, and I want to read it to you. It's the perfect question. It's the great segue now. How do they, I assume the caller means the government, expect us to survive with $600 when they give themselves thousands of dollars? It's truly millions, but great question. And the caller is correct. And I don't think they care what you think, because the press is not reporting this as the moondoggle it is. It's being reported as saving you from coronavirus and the economic disaster that was created by the shutdown. If you want to call in with questions for me, I'm very anxious to hear from you. The number to call is 516-595-8069. I'll give you the number again, 516-595-8069. Press 1. You'll be connected to Annie, our producer, and she'll either bring you on or read me the questions, and I'll get to them as fast as I can. Again, the number is 516-595-8069 and push 1. One quick call question, and then we're going to go on to get into some details. Why did the U.S. give money to Pakistan for a gender study instead of giving it to Americans? Thank you. Hello. That's Barry's question, too. What the hell are we doing? Doesn't it seem like America has billions and trillions of dollars to give away for things like gender studies? I'm going to read you some even weirder stuff. I hope you're mad and are going to get madder to the point where you want to get off your tushy and call your state senator, I'm sorry, your U.S. senator, or your congressperson, and say, enough's enough. Stop spending my money on stupid crap. Andy Biggs is a congressman from Arizona, a conservative Republican from Arizona. He made a fantastic point in the last few hours. He said, 5,600 pages, and they gave us just a couple of hours to read it. It's impossible to read it in a week. 5,600 pages, small type. Nobody has read it. It was cobbled together overnight by staff members. So Andy Biggs did a survey. And he asked his constituents to call in and say, who's for it, who's against it? Anyone care to guess how the survey turned out? The number I saw a couple hours ago, 96% of the people calling in were opposed. 4% supported it. Nobody had read it. I have a copy of it. It's on my computer. It would take me, and I'm a really good reader, about 3 weeks. Reminds you of Nancy Pelosi's speech when Obama was president, and they passed Obamacare. And do you remember what she said when the Republicans were bitching on the floor of the Congress? We haven't read it yet. It's too big. We can't vote on it. And she said, if you want to know what's in the bill, you have to vote for it. And after we pass it, we'll give you all a copy to read. Doesn't that just make you angry? It's as if somebody stopped you in a shopping center and said, give me all your money. And they made you give it to them. And when you asked what it was going to be spent on, they said to you, when we spend it, we'll give you a report after we've spent it. And no, you just have to say yes to giving me all the money. It's the same thing. Taxpayers are paying for this. Now, there's a lot of weird stuff in those 5,600 pages. Let's talk about some of the stuff. Who's heard of the Dalai Lama? Show of hands, please. You know, the Buddhist religious leader exiled from Tibet. This legislation has a section outlining the reincarnation and succession of the Dalai Lama, meaning when this Dalai Lama dies, how will the new Dalai Lama get picked? Never mind the fact that he's Tibetan and a Buddhist and is not American and doesn't live here. Let me read you the bill, at least the provision about the Dalai Lama. You ready? Quote, the decisions regarding the selection, education, and veneration of Tibetan Buddhist religious leaders are exclusively spiritual matters that should be made by the appropriate religious authorities within the Tibetan Buddhist tradition and in the context of the will of practitioners of Tibetan Buddhism. Unquote. And it concludes that the wishes of the 14th Dalai Lama, including any written instructions, should play a key role in the selection, education, and veneration of a future 15th Dalai Lama, unquote. The current and 14th Dalai Lama is 85 years old. His name is Tenzin Gyatso, and he lives in exile in India, where he's lived since the 1959 Tibetan uprising. Now, some people may justify the inclusion of the Dalai Lama, I guess you call it details, as important because it's a pushback against the communist Chinese who say they should get to pick the Dalai Lama. But honestly, this is BS. Doesn't belong in your COVID-19 bailout bill, does it? But it's there. I've got more. You're going to get madder. The legislation also establishes two brand new Smithsonian museums that will be located near the National Mall in Washington. There's going to be a brand new museum called the Women's History Museum, and the second one is the National Museum of the American Latino. Now, I'm not saying these are dumb ideas, but we're broke. What the hell are we spending this money on? And why does that have anything to do with a COVID bailout bill? Anybody? Crickets? Yeah, that's what I thought. The bill also repeals 9 criminal laws that are rarely, if ever, enforced, such as people who transport certain plants, like water hyacinths or alligator grass, or water chestnut plants across state lines, no longer face 6 months in prison. I didn't know that was a crime. I guess it's good to get rid of it, but I don't know what it has to do with COVID. Here's another one. Individuals who fraudulently use emblems such as the U.S. Forest Service Smokey Bear and Woodsy the Owl and the Golden Eagle insignia and the Swiss Confederation's coat of arms can no longer be imprisoned. Well, I didn't know you could. I'm glad you no longer will. Does it have anything to do with this? Yeah, I didn't think so. The bill also includes a provision to allow the Justice Department to charge businesses for felony copyright infringement if they intentionally stream copyrighted material online. I guess that's a good thing. Does it belong in this bill? I don't think so. There's a provision on horse racing and what drugs you can give to horses and what drugs you shouldn't give to race horses. I used to be the head of horse racing in California for some time, some years ago. That's important in the horse racing industry because they over-medicate these horses. Does it have anything to do with COVID-19 bailout? No, it doesn't. This is pork. Now, I'm going to read you a little bit from the table of contents. I'm not going to read you the bill because this radio show is not 1,000 hours. But here's some of it. Okay? Are you ready? There are provisions for the Department of the Interior, for the EPA, for Health and Human Services, for certain legislations, for certain leases, for certain government positions. It establishes a commission on black men and boys' corrections. It changes immigration law. It gives U.S. Customs and Border Patrol the right to accept donations. Alaska Natives get an extension of some kind. I don't know what it is. That's a chapter. The architect of the Capitol has new instructions. Homeland Security gets new funding. There's a whole chapter on aircraft certification, safety, and accountability. There's a chapter on supporting foster youth and families throughout America. There's a bunch of chapters on mining, you know, where you dig in the ground for stuff. There's the Montana Water Rights Protection Act. There's the repeal of the requirement to sell certain federal property on Plum Island in New York. There's a chapter on no more e-cigarettes to children sales. There's chapters on Western Water and Indian Affairs. The Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library will be conveyed as part of this. I don't know who's getting it. I don't know who's giving it up. And it goes on and on and on and on. And if you want to look at this yourself and have your brain turned to jello, it's on the internet at rules.house.gov/sites/democrats.rules, and you'll find it. I don't know if you want to read this. Like I said, you're going to turn into jello as a result of this. Tom from Arizona is asking, are these stimulus checks, are the stimulus checks as part of this bill training for normalization of socialism? Oh, Tom, that is the best question I've been asked in a few weeks of shows. The answer is yes. They used to say in the old days that the government of a socialistic environment creates problems of such a magnitude that you demand your government solve problems. And that's from George Orwell's 1984 as an example. It's also the backbone of Ayn Rand's book, or several books, the most prominent one, Atlas Shrugged, where she talks about if you have these tremendous societal problems, you will eventually demand that your government solve those problems, never mind the fact that it's your government, that caused it. Oh, by the way, did I forget to mention that undocumented aliens, you know, the ones that feloniously broke into America that are here as felons, will get up to $1,200 in stimulus payments? I'm not making this up. $1,200 for a husband and wife who are married and here illegally. and they get part of the $900 billion. God, this is upsetting. $600 per person, and the rest goes to pork. One after another, after another, after another. And this is why people are so angry. And wanting President Trump to veto it. And I agree. 100% I agree. So, six very brave United States senators have stood up and made speeches protesting what's going on. Six out of 100. That's it. Before I read you what they said, I want to remind you how you can call in with questions. 516-595-8069, 516-595-8069. Press 1. You can ask anything you want on the subject. So six senators stood up and they said, we're against it, and here's why. This was last night. After overwhelming support in the Senate, voted for it. The people that voted against it, listen to these names. These are people you should support. Senators, Marsha Blackburn, Republican from Tennessee, Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, Ron Johnson, Republican Wisconsin, Mike Lee, Republican Utah, Rand Paul, Republican Kentucky, and Rick Scott, Republican Florida. If you were listening, you probably noticed they're all Republicans. And what they're concerned about is not only where the $900 billion is going, but the fact that the $900 billion bailout was bundled with a $1.4 trillion spending bill to avoid a government shutdown. But the spending bill includes all this crap, and yes, I meant that word, going all over the world as if we had a printing press. Oh, actually, we do have a printing press. The problem is we have to pay for it at some point. So the criticisms of these six Republican defenders of our Constitution and the six senators who believe in fiscal sanity are really, really angry about the size of the funding, the size of the bill, the fact that nobody got to read it, and the fact that we're spending money on a bunch of crap like a gender study in Pakistan and museums and stuff like that. The number to call, 516-595-8069. Press 1. Chat question just came in. Did I hear you correctly, Barry? Illegals will get a stimulus check too? If your answer is yes, then what's the difference between us, you know, the U.S. citizens, and them? Great question. And the answer is, if the Democrats control the House, the Senate, and the White House, there will be no difference. Except, there is a little bit, it's easier to get money in Democrat states if you're illegal than if you're a citizen. I'll give you an example. If any of you have walked down the street in San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, and seen the tens of thousands of homeless, the illegals get everything they want. All they have to do is ask, and sometimes they don't have to ask, and they don't even have to speak English. But our veterans, forget it. Americans who paid taxes and fell on hard times, forget it. But free health care, free education, free transportation, free food, free housing, if you're illegal, bingo. Why? Because they want them to be Americans who can vote. And I don't mean American citizens necessarily, because in every single election precinct in November, there were illegals voting, and nobody seemed to care very much. So let's start off with Rand Paul's comments. Rand Paul, Senator, Republican from Kentucky. This is a quote. This was from his speech on the floor of the Senate last night. I was enamored with it instantly. Quote, to so-called conservatives who are quick to identify the socialism of Democrats, if you vote for this spending monstrosity, you are no better. When you vote to pass out free money, you lose your soul and you abandon forever any semblance of moral or fiscal integrity, he said, targeting his fellow Republicans. And only five of them would listen. That's it. Five. He suggested, Rand Paul, that instead of spending this insane amount of money from a bill that no one's read, lawmakers should open up the economy, cut the obvious waste in the present budget, and stop piling on debt for future generations. Now, this is an interesting point. And Rand is very much like his father, who was known as the fiscal conservative. This is long before Rand was even a doctor and a member of the Senate. I'm referring to his dad. And dad's case, his father, Ron Paul, I'm referring to, was all about stop spending money you don't have. In fact, go back to the gold standard so you can't spend money you don't have. He was elected over and over and over again from South Texas. And he was looked at as a kook because he didn't believe in spending money you don't have. Now, if any of you were doing that, you'd end up in the poorhouse or in bankruptcy court. But somehow, it's okay if you're a government, especially the United States government, to behave like an imbecile. Which, well, that's what they've been doing, especially last night. I agree with Rand Paul. Here's what Rick Scott said. Rick Scott, Republican from Florida. Quote, once again, in classic Washington style, vital programs are attached to a massive omnibus spending bill that mortgages our kids and our grandkids' future. Therefore, I cannot support this bill. And Senator Scott had a lengthier statement on a later tweet where he said, quote, Washington doesn't seem to understand that new spending today will be paid for by increased federal debt and result in a tax increase on families down the road. And he mentioned that his position is consistent with his history of opposing enormous and wasteful bills. Senator Scott concluded, quote, the easy route is simply to go along as Congress continues to do harm to future generations of Americans, but I will not be part of it, unquote. Now, I don't know why nobody seems to be listening to Rick Scott and Rand Paul. Here's what I mean. If any of us got a new Visa card, and we got a $10,000 limit, which is enormous, and we spent all the money, charged up the card to $10,000, okay? And then you've got to make your first payment, and your bill comes, and it's $59 minimum payment, or you can pay off as much principal as you want, and you pay $59. And this goes on for a while. And then you call Visa and say, listen, I've made six payments in a row. Could I increase my limit? And you're very persuasive, and the person on the phone says, okay, you can go to $15,000. And now your minimum is $79. And on and on and on and on and on. Or $10,000 turns into $15,000 and turns into billions and turns into trillions. And eventually you'd look at that and go, there's not a chance in 100,000 years that this debt is ever going to be paid off. I'm just going to keep borrowing because they just keep giving me the money. And I'm going to buy everything I want. And I can buy museums, and I can buy gender studies in Pakistan, and I can buy Native Alaskan ethnic studies programs. You know, you get the idea. And pretty soon, you have turned into Washington, D.C. Okay? It's hellaciously bad stuff. Let's talk about some other senators. I'm very proud of some of these people. Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee said that there are positive goals, such as the development distribution of vaccines and school assistance and some small help for businesses. But she says it wasn't worth the steep cost. And here's her quote. Quote, I cannot support nearly $2.4 trillion in spending that will make the recovery even harder. I have serious concerns with provisions buried in the 5,593-page bill, such as expanded visas, Pell grants for prisoners, yes, grants for prisoners, and households with illegal aliens receiving economic impact payments. For these reasons, I voted no on passage of this legislation. High five, Marsha Blackburn, Senator from Tennessee. Here's what Ron Johnson said. He's the senator from Wisconsin. Quote, I'm glad a government shutdown was avoided and that financial relief will finally reach many who truly need it. But he says he opposes the legislation due to the dysfunction of the process. The dysfunction of Washington, D.C. was on full display as Congress combined COVID relief with a massive omnibus spending bill. 3 months past the deadline and into the current fiscal year, Johnson said in a statement. He continued, quote, this monstrosity was 5,593 pages long and passed only 9 hours after the Senate first saw it, unquote. And by the way, nobody read it. Nobody read it. And everybody complained they had no time to read it. Even, write this down, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez complained that they shouldn't run Congress like that. The bills ought to be passed out in time for people to read it. This is the first time, and maybe the last time, I will ever agree with anything AOC said. By the way, Senator Johnson continued that he supported the CARES Act earlier this year because it was necessary at that time to act quickly and massively to prevent an economic meltdown. But he said this time he favored a more targeted approach, crafting what would have been a slimmer bill in September that would have provided more than $600 billion in relief and not all this extra stuff. So Ron Johnson concluded, we do not have an unlimited checking account. We must spend federal dollars, money we are borrowing from future generations, more carefully and place limits on how much we are mortgaging our children's future. I hope you hear him loud and clear. What Senator Johnson is saying is everybody alive today is not going to pay this back. It's impossible. Your children might pay some of it back. Your children's children might pay some of it back, or this debt could just stay there forever until there's just a massive devaluation in the American dollar because future generations are going to say enough's enough. There is no way that this is ever getting paid back, period. And I think that's what is going to happen. God bless Ron Johnson. Here's what Senator Ted Cruz says. Cruz with Mike Lee, we just talked about him, and I'm going to read some quotes from Mike Lee in a minute, criticized the process of the legislation. He criticized the fact that lawmakers only just have a couple hours to read thousands of pages. And after AOC criticized the concept of having a vote on a large bill without having time to even read it, Cruz agreed with AOC when he said, quote, "It's absurd to have a $2.5 trillion spending bill negotiated in secret, not in public, in committees, and then hours later demand an up or down vote on a bill nobody has had time to read," unquote. And Ted Cruz is right. They had no debate. They had no committee breakdown. They had no exchange of ideas. There was no markup of the bill. It just was submitted, and you were told, vote yes, vote no, that's it, no time left. Is it any wonder everybody hates Congress? I've talked about this a lot over the years. On the bottom of the totem pole of disrespected jobs in America, used car salesman is down there at the bottom of the barrel with congressmen. It's that bad. And after today, with people waking up to what Congress did last night, I would venture to bet that Congress is lower than used car salesmen, because I've met some nice used car salesmen. I really have. But I haven't met too many people in Congress, and I've met a number of them, that seems to understand fiscal responsibility. So I'm going to end the comments from the U.S. senators with Mike Lee of Utah. And he was really whining, and rightly so, way to go, Mike Lee, that logistically it's impossible to read thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of pages in such a short time. He actually put a video on Twitter on how long it takes just to print out 5,500 pages. Here's what he said. Quote, "Because of the length of this bill, it is impossible that anyone will have the opportunity to read it between now and the time that we will have to vote. And I'm absolutely certain that what has been cobbled together by a very small handful of members of Congress and their staffs, and to the exclusion of 98% of the members of Congress of both political parties in both houses." So what he's saying is, quite clearly, it's an inside job that's going to spend your money, your kids' money, your grandkids' money, and your grandkids' kids' money, and it'll never be paid back, and it's going to destroy the dollar, and nobody even read it because it's not possible. Would you please get mad about this? Will you please call your House of Representatives member and your U.S. senator, and you can also call the White House. There's a bunch of petitions online already about this saying, please ask them to have changed their mind. Kind of too late for that, but you can still get the president to veto it. Will it do any good? Geez, I really, really don't know. 516-595-8069 is the call-in number. Again, the number is 516-595-8069. Press 1. You'll be connected. We'll hear your question. And if we can get to it, I promise I will. By the way, while I have your attention for a minute before we talk about what's the president going to do, I want to remind all of you wonderful listeners in ATP Radio Land that you can text the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, on your cell phone. That's the message. And send it to 88202. You'll be subscribed to our text message alert system for free. And you'll get free chapters of my new book, Because You Asked, absolutely free, just for signing up. And that's a thank you to you and you and you, just for being a loyal listener. If you decide you want to buy it, we'll give you a discount. The book is on Amazon. It's called Because You Asked. It's written by me, Barry Nussbaum, and it's available now on Amazon. By the way, while I'm talking to you, I'm looking at the announcement from Tulsi Gabbard, the congresswoman who did not run for re-election. She would have won. She comes from Hawaii. She says she's going to vote no, or actually she did vote no yesterday on the bill that spending trillions of dollars but giving only $600 for every American citizen is a slap in the face to American citizens because they're taking the Americans' money and giving it to all kinds of goofball projects all over the world, none of which should take priority over Americans. She's 100% right. Bless you, Tulsi. You're right. I couldn't agree with you more. So now, going to the president's desk, what is the president going to do? There's a big movement to get the president to veto this. Why? Well, because it's a ridiculous, absurd amount of money being spent. Money we don't have, money that has nothing to do with COVID. And we're betraying our children and our children's children. And I think if I was advising the president, I would tell him to veto this spending and say, bring it back. And do it with spending allocations just to help people not to do this. Okay? That's Barry's idea. So what comes next, ladies and gentlemen? Well, let's spend a couple minutes chatting about the elections that happened in November, the elections that are going to happen in Atlanta, in Georgia. They'll be counted in Atlanta in a couple of weeks, and it will determine the control of the United States Senate. Let me explain what that means. Presently, there are 50 Republican incoming members of the Senate elected who will be sworn in January, and there are 48 Democrat U.S. senators that will be sworn in January, and there are two open seats. Both those seats are in Georgia. One is a special election to fill out a short-term seat, and the other is the regular election. But Georgia has a weird law that says if you don't get 50% plus a vote, there's going to be another election until someone gets 50%. And so both those U.S. senators are up right now. If, this is why this is so important, if the Democrats win both seats, which is Ossoff wins and Warnock wins, the two Democrats, and the two Republicans lose, which is Perdue and Loeffler, then it'll be 50-50 in the Senate. Some of you might think, oh, that's a great thing. I won't pass anything. You're wrong. Here's why it's bad if you're a conservative. Because under the law, when the Senate votes and there's a tie, the Vice President of the United States becomes the tie-breaking vote deliver person. So today, the president of the Senate is the Vice President, Mike Pence. If there was a tie in the Senate, he would get to vote. And in the future, if Biden is the president in January and Trump no longer is the president, we don't know that for sure yet, America, she will be the tiebreaker And after every 50-50 vote, Republican, Democrat, where the votes are balanced, they call in the president of the Senate, who is the vice president. She will vote the Democrat side, and that will be the end of our present system of government as we know it, because you'll have a Democrat president, a Democrat House of Representatives, and a Democrat Senate, and they can do anything they want. And the ability of Republicans in the Senate to stop massive spending, appointments, investigations, and so on will be destroyed. There's a couple of questions. Before I get to them, let me make one comment. Sebastian Gorka posted this morning how much other countries are giving their citizens. Australia, $1,993 a month. Canada, $1,433 a month. Denmark, this is in dollars. Denmark, $3,288 a month. France, $7,575 a month. Germany, $7,327 a month. Ireland, $1,793.44 a month. The United Kingdom, $3,084 a month. And the United States, per household, up to $1,200 that will last you 32 weeks. So we are giving our citizens a very, 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 very small fraction of what the rest of the world is giving to their people. But they're not dumb enough to pass out money all over the world like we are. Are you mad? You should be. Let me remind you, please, take out your cell phone right now if you're listening on your phone and text the word truth, T-R-U-T-H. Put that in the message box at the bottom of your chat. Send it to 88202, push send. We will send you a link to get a couple chapters of my new book for free. You don't have to buy it. It's all free. We don't charge you anything. It's just our gift for signing up on our free text message alert system. Or you can just go to americantruthproject.org and do it there. It's free there as well. 88202 is where you send it, and the message should be T-R-U-T-H, push send. We'll sign you up, and we'll send you the coupon with the link. A couple of questions coming in, trying to get to as many as I can. Barry, what do you think of the possibility of martial law being declared? You know, my first reaction was very negative about it, but yesterday I listened to the press conference with Attorney General Bill Barr in his last day in office, and it was really upsetting that he didn't seem to see the need for seizing voting machines, at least in the seven swing states, where we went to bed and Trump was winning the landslide, and we woke up on November 4th and it had all been changed at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock or whatever, where a bazillion votes came in overnight. And those machines have the evidence in them, and the machines that have been examined prove there was voter fraud. And yet, in Michigan, they're already erasing the machines, and nobody's stopping them. And that's why some people are talking about send the military, empower them to seize the machines. And yet, President Trump has said declaring martial law is a rumor, and it's not going to happen. I think we have to take him on his word. So my answer to your question is, I don't think it's a possibility. Here's one. This person in Utah says, Mitt Romney is my representative. How do I go about changing his mind about election results? He seemed to have joined the left. Well, I happen to know Mitt, and I used to know him quite well, and I worked with him on his policy on Israel when he was running for president. On a personal level, I like him very much. I know his family. I know his kids, his wife, his brother-in-law, their kids. I mean, I really know the family. He's a very, very decent, good man. Having said that, I have no clue what is going on between his ears when it comes to things like the election, where he wants Trump to concede and walk away. My guess is, because I have not talked to Mitt Romney about this, is he just doesn't like President Trump a lot. And it's not that he loves Joe Biden. I would say that it has to do with, as best as I can tell, a personality problem with the president, not so much a political problem. That's my guess. To answer your question, what should you do? Call his office repeatedly. Send emails repeatedly. Get your friends to do it. Elected officials, listen to input coming in. I know I've been in Congress, in the congressional offices, and I know how much they care. If there's a volume of opinion coming in, they will be responsive. Betty from Nevada says, I've been waiting on my unemployment since August. I was fired from work due to COVID. Why is it taking so long for me to get my unemployment check? Oh, I wish I could help you on that one, Betty. There's a lot of disgust with various government programs not being, expeditiously managed. A lot of people are working from home. Government people are working from home. And quite frankly, they are overwhelmed. My guess is the best thing you can do is keep nudging them. Ask, be the squeaky wheel. It's the best idea I've got for you. In the meantime, for those of you who got really upset today, I hope you did. I hope you were listening and you understand how bad things are with this bill and you tell your congressman, and I don't mean that in a sexist way, male or female, and your senator and the president, you're not buying this, and just stop the boondoggle. Okay? So that's it for today. You got a little education. I hope you're fired up about it. I know I am. I got madder and madder and madder just talking about it. One last time, I want to remind you how to get my book for free. Text the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H. That goes into the message box, and you're going to send it to 88202, push send. You'll automatically be subscribed to our totally free text message alert system. You'll get a few chapters of the book for free. I hope you'll like it. You can buy it if you do, and we'll give you a discount on that too. So thanks for joining me today on our little discussion about what your Congress did with your money, your kids' money, your grandchildren's money, and your great-grandchildren's money last night. And I hope you're as upset about it as I am. Please join me next week and tune in all the time to American Truth Project, because we've got all kinds of content coming out on radio and on video and in print on a daily basis. For ATP Radio, thanks for joining us today. I'm Barry Nussbaum.
You were listening to ATP Radio. Make sure to text the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, to 88202 to be notified of our future radio shows.